It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. I hope you can go get your Bible and bring it to class with you. And when you get in your seat, open it to Nehemiah chapter 4, and we will continue this study about how Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem after he came out of that period of captivity. This is deep into the close of the history of Israel in the Old Testament, and we're studying from the book of Nehemiah. So be turning there, Nehemiah chapter 4. And while you're doing that, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. We have been meeting as a church in that location for over 100 years. This is the Sunday school lesson that E.A. Elam prepared for September 3rd, 1922, and this is the 104th session of the Warren County Radio Bible School. And we're studying about how Nehemiah had returned to rebuild those walls of Jerusalem, and some of the enemies of those Jews that had come back from Jerusalem were ridiculing them and making fun of them for trying to rebuild the walls. You know, that can be very discouraging, can't it? When you're trying to do something and people are ridiculing you for what you are trying to do. And that was the way they were trying to discourage the building of that wall. Let me read what Elam had to say about that in this Sunday school lesson, in this little booklet I have. It's on page 212. And back in 1922, on that Sunday school day, Elam was saying that Nehemiah and his co-workers instead prayed and worked on. Let us be impressed with the fact that Nehemiah was a praying man. And let us make note of all that is stated in regard to his praying and when he prayed. Then, instead of wilting under ridicule and mockery and running after the fashionable and popular ways, let us pray and rely on God and work on. Ridicule and mockery should only make us stronger. And they do strengthen many now as they strengthen Nehemiah and the Jews. He who cannot endure ridicule and the contradiction of sinners against himself is unworthy of Christ. Let me read to you Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, after it says in verse 7, these enemies, Sanballat and Tobiah, after they were very wroth, in Nehemiah 4:8 it says, and they all conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion therein. They conspired, all of them together, to come and fight against Jerusalem and cause confusion therein. Ridicule and mockery would not accomplish their purpose, and they resorted to arms. The second attack planned against the Jews by their enemies was to come upon Jeremiah and his men unawares and capture them and stop the work. In verse 9 it says of Nehemiah 4, but we made our prayer unto God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Nehemiah learned of this conspiracy from the Jews who lived near their enemies and prayed to God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. The fact that Nehemiah prayed and watched should impress us. We should work now as well as pray. Nehemiah not only watched literally, but he made every possible arrangement for defense against his enemies. We should diligently use all the means God has placed in our hands. From Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 10, And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we're not able to build the wall." This was one of the discouragements at homes which came with the conspiracy of the enemy. Clearing away the rubbish and carrying the material for the wall up to the wall as it became higher was no little work. There were heaps of rubbish, and to remove it was an arduous task in Nehemiah 4 and verse 2. The work was hard and had exhausted the strength and courage of many. Hence they made this complaint. But Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 11, this verse shows the scheme of the Jews' adversaries. "They shall not know, neither see, till we come into the midst of them and slay them and cause the work to cease." These adversaries did not intend for Nehemiah and his co-workers to know of their plan. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 12, though, says that the Jews that dwelt by them, that is, by the adversaries, warned Nehemiah against this intended sudden attack. "They said unto us 10 times, from all places ye must return unto us." Well, it is difficult to get the meaning of this expression. The margin of the version used in preparing these lessons, and by the way, that is the American Standard Version of 1801, that's the text that is being used for these Sunday school lessons. The margin of the version used in preparing these lessons says, "From all places which ye shall return, they will be upon us." It may mean that the scattered Jews among the enemies besought the ones at work in Jerusalem 10 times to return from the city to them, because they were the most exposed to the enemy and would be the first to suffer in this expected attack. In Nehemiah 4 and verse 13, Nehemiah prepared at once for the attack. Where the wall was lowest and the city most exposed to the enemy, he set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. He wisely placed all where they could defend their own families and could know the welfare of their own families. In section 4 of this lesson, the title of this fourth section is, "Our God Will Fight for Us." Nehemiah 4:14, "He then addressed all, saying, Be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, who is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." No stronger motive to defend themselves could have been placed before them, and no stronger appeal to action could have been made. They must rely upon God and use all possible means. They could easily recall what God had done to the enemies of his people in the past. The enemies learned that their scheme was known by the Jews, and the Jews were prepared for them, and they did not make the attack. God had brought their counsel to naught in the manner described above. The work on the walls was then resumed. Nehemiah 4:16. "Half of my servants," that's Nehemiah's servants, "were his retainers and trained men and guards. A guard went with him from Shushan. Half of them held weapons of war ready for action should an attack be made, while the other half worked. Also, they that built the wall and they that bear burdens laden themselves," that is, laden themselves with weapons of war, "every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other held his weapon." Verse 17. "Every builder had his sword by his side as he worked. Those who laid the stones in the wall needed both hands for this work, but they kept their swords girded by their sides, ready for use at a moment's warning." Nehemiah superintended the entire work and kept a keen watch for the enemy. The work was extensive, and the workmen scattered. Therefore, the enemy might attack and destroy one party at a time. Nehemiah kept a trumpeter with him and instructed all, should the trumpet sound the alarm, to rush to the defense of those who were attacked. our God will fight for us, Nehemiah said. With all the vigilance and diligent use of the means on their part, Nehemiah knew that God must fight for them and give them the victory. Verses 18 through 20. And then Nehemiah 4, verses 22 through 23 show how diligently all worked and held themselves ready to fight. From the rising of the morning till the stars appeared, the Jews who lived in the country near Jerusalem would work through the day and return home for the night. But Nehemiah ordered all to remain in the city at night for a guard. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard that followed me, none of us put off our clothes. Everyone went with his weapon to the water. Section 5 of these notes are about other efforts of the enemy. In order to see what other tricks the enemy resorted to and what other efforts were made, you could read Nehemiah chapter 6. Their first attack, as we had seen, was mockery and ridicule. Their second, conspiracy and arms. When these failed, they resorted to treachery. Under the guise of friendship, they invited Nehemiah to a conference in one of the villages in the plains of Ono, a town about 26 miles north of Jerusalem. I think that's an interesting name, don't you? The plain of Ono. If anyone ever asked you to come down to the plain of Ono, say, oh no. Nehemiah was on alert, and in regard to any movement or strategy of his enemy, he said they thought to do me mischief. He declined this invitation for two reasons. One, he saw into its treachery. And two, he was too busy doing the Lord's work. He said, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down to you. Four times his enemies invited him to a conference, and four times he declined after the same manner. While they were persistent, he was steadfast. Now this is an application. God's work today in preaching the gospel throughout the world, restoring his worship as it is written in the New Testament, and building up the church after the Bible order is also a great work. And like Nehemiah, his people must go steadily with it. There is no time for conferences with the enemy. All who teach for doctrines the precepts of men and worship otherwise than is written in the New Testament. For Nehemiah to have a conference with his enemies would be to acknowledge their authority and to place God's word on an equality with theirs. His was a different work. His authority was from God, and he did not need their advice. For God's people to hold conferences today with those who teach for doctrines the commandments of men and worship after the ways of men is to place the wisdom of God in God's ways on a level with the wisdom and ways of men. To do this is to surrender the truth. The fourth effort Nehemiah's enemies made was to attack him with false accusations and threats. The fifth one was a plan to frighten him into transgression of God's law and thereby bring him into reproach, if not a plan to assassinate him. In chapter 5, we learn that Nehemiah's work was hindered by the oppression of the poor Jews by their rich brethren. In the fear of God, Nehemiah had this oppression stopped and proper restitution made. Nehemiah was a splendid example to his brethren. For the 12 years he had been governor, he had not collected and used the governor's salary as other governors had done. He had served for the good of the people at his own charges. Besides this, he had sustained his own servants, 150 men of the Jews and rulers. He gave account of the daily fare to show that it cost much to sustain so many. This must be the spirit of all today who would move the people to penitence from the love of money and the oppression of the poor. Well, that ended this lesson, and we're coming to the end of our program. And so the next time we meet for class, we're going to read about how Nehemiah was teaching people the law of God. You might want to mark in your Bible Nehemiah chapter 8. You may now be dismissed.